I want to go back a bit. When I was in the army, when I was a young Christian, I was in a immature, not long, we were long, not all that long, really, back from Singapore. Both Mo and I both come to trust Jesus as Lord and Saviour when we're in Singapore, through some witnessing of a couple and this Christian soldier home that was there. She woke me up about 2-3 o'clock one morning, which you didn't sleep much longer in Singapore when the sun starts to come up at 4 in the morning, it gets hot, and said, "Do you know we're either going to heaven or we're going to hell? Do you know that?" Oh, you don't mention that word, hell, in church these days. Very naughty word, isn't it? But we said, yes, what are we going to do about it? So we went and knocked our friends up who run the soldiers home, and then we eventually put our trust in Jesus. I'm saying that as a bit of background because after I come back from Singapore and I was in the military hospital in Woolwich, I was, some of my Baptist colleagues will know this, I taking the punishment for something I didn't do, which transpires later on, that all works out. But I still had to go to this unit in Aldershot, which I did not want to do. It was a parachute field ambulance. They weren't all jumping out of perfectly serviceable aeroplanes. And I thought, well, I'm not going there. I'm not having this done to me. And I'm going to come out of the army. And so I volunteered for the UN in Cyprus, thinking if I do the next year's summer's tour, that won't give me much time left in the army. But unfortunately, nobody volunteered for the winter tour, so I got it. And the reason I'm reminding me of this, I'm going to say a couple of things. Two things, because I know I was there, because I found this the other day, and this is what started me off on that. You know, you keep things as souvenirs. I've got a badge of rank, Royal Coat of Arms, which I'm not giving up for anybody, and a stable belt. I don't know if it'll fit me now, but I did then. And it says, in case you can't read it, Sergeant F. Hunter, RMC, Chief Clerk, Medical Branch, HQ Unfership, all Cyprus. There's only three of us in the branch, a Lieutenant Colonel, me as a sergeant, and a warrant officer, one who's environmental health. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. But before I went, at the end of 1 Corinthians 15:58, we went to a little Brethren church in just down the road from Aldershot, a bit like Chilwell and Beeston, you know, just in North Camp. And there was a Brethren church, and very good teaching. And I thought at the time, because I was still in a state of rebellion, the pastor had given me a word out of context. And I knew he didn't really in my heart, but he did. And it says this, verse 58 in 1 Corinthians 15. "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Now, that didn't really come apparent to me till about halfway through my tour in Cyprus. When I come home for 3 weeks' leave, I decided that what I was doing was wrong. I knew it because God was telling me that. And I signed on again. And from that, I still had to go to the same unit, stay in the same unit. But anyway, there we go. But some commentaries on that verse says this. Paul says that because of the resurrection, nothing we do is in vain. Okay, we know that. Sometimes we hesitate to do good because we do not see any results. Because we're human, aren't we? We're impatient sometimes. We want the results yesterday. And sometimes we may never see the results. But if we can maintain a heavenly perspective, we will understand that often we will not see the good results from our efforts. And if we truly believe that Christ has won the ultimate victory, the fact may affect the way we live right now. Do not be discouraged over an apparent lack of results keep you from working. Do the good that you have the opportunities to do, knowing that your work will have eternal results. Because what we do now, we don't know how it'll affect. Because when we get to heaven, somebody once said, I remember this, basically paraphrasing it, saying, "Don't be surprised when you see people in heaven, because they may well be surprised to see you." Perhaps that's just a literal, you know. And that quote comes from the NIV Life Application Study Bible footnotes. I'll give you another comment from when I was in Zimbabwe, but we've got young children here, so I won't mention the word. Is that all right? Okay, so it's nothing thingy wrong. When I went out a couple of years later, I went out with a Commonwealth ceasefire monitoring force to Zimbabwe when they first had the elections, when President Mugabe was became president, or they changed, they dropped the word ceasefire. Somebody in the PC brigade got in there. And we just become a monitoring force. And I remember seeing some intelligence summaries where this particular chap was under disagreement with the local witch doctor. And after a few days, this you could see the intelligence summaries, what was happening. This guy died. So they took his body to South Africa, as so there was no, you know, cover-up or anything to do a post-mortem. And it transpired, you could find nothing wrong with him. Nothing at all, except there was a sign, I don't know how to express it, the look of fear on his face. Nothing else at the time. No toxicology results could find anything. So the answer, I suppose, is don't upset the local doctor, you know. But seriously, and that struck me as well, bringing me back to this verse when I was looking the other day, because I found this badge when I was sorting out some stuff. And it just got me thinking about the resurrection. Because so often, and that and the second coming, we sometimes shrug aside, you know, as if, you know, it doesn't matter. Well, we know it does. So 1 Corinthians 15:1-11 is an introduction. If you ask people today what they think changed the world, you will get all sorts of answers. So I've asked you tonight, let's have a couple. What do you think has changed the world over recent years? War and... Yeah? Okay. Anything else? Internet. Sorry? Internet. Oh, internet, yeah. Facebook? Oh, don't do it. Technology. There's all sorts, isn't there? We could say... if we were that much older, we could say Pearl Harbor, the bomb in there. 7-Eleven... You know, the Suez Troubles, and we can go on, can't we? But we know that the world is changing, ever changing. But the real, I believe, the real thing that's changed the world is that, is or was the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. Amen? I believe that is the greatest thing. Yes, it's in the past, but it's still relevant today. And we push the other things aside because they're not really relevant apart from historical. If you go to the Six-Day War in the Middle East, I was in Benghazi at the time, a young 18-and-a-half-year-old. And we eventually pulled out of there because of the... Anyway, we won't go into that tonight. But there were no news reporters, no lights, no cameras. Life didn't come to a screeching halt because of this incident. Life went on, didn't it? Governments were not called into emergency session. No shockwaves that reverberated around the world as it did on 7-Eleven or anything like that. No, Resurrection Day was not an international event, but it did change the world forever. And that's what changed our lives, and I'm sure all you tonight. And if it isn't, it should. Certainly changed ours, I can tell you. When I come back from Cyprus, my friend Rob Ronald at Castle Donton said, I was never the same person again. Whatever happened to me in Cyprus changed me, because if it didn't, I wouldn't be here tonight. Praise God. But unlike these dates or any historical ones, many still do not believe in the truth of the resurrection, do not believe in Jesus. And we have got good news to share, have we not? The idea of the resurrection has been relegated to the world in many ways as mythology. You know, like the Odyssey, Santa Claus, there's some truth in that story to a point. The Easter Bunny, you know, and we can go on, can't we? But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a fairy tale, as some people will say. Skepticism about the resurrection of Jesus is nothing new, is it? Been going on since Jesus was resurrected, just like in Paul's day, as 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. Paul boldly declares that the resurrection is the gospel truth, and we know how it's a gospel truth. We know that the resurrection is true because the gospel declares it. It tells us in verse 1 and 2, doesn't it? They didn't believe it. What's the point of preaching it? If I didn't believe it tonight, I wouldn't be standing here, waste my time. I'd probably end up, I probably will anyway, end up watching Midwives. because Mo loves it. They always seem to have a baby when you're having something to eat. Now, we know that you can laugh, but it's true, isn't it? If you watch it. The good stories, don't misunderstand me. But we know that the gospel means good news, and that's what we've got to share, and which we're trying to share with our family at this time and all the difficulties. In a nutshell, we know Jesus died, was buried, rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven, and he's coming again one day. Now, we can spend all night discussing how he's going to come back or where we'll be on that day, but we're not going to. This is a gospel that people have believed and accepted down through ages and will do till Jesus returns. It says in those words, doesn't it, which you received. It's the same gospel that Paul preached when he first came to Corinth during his second missionary journey in Acts 18. He preached the gospel and people responded. And so the church was established. We know that not everybody will respond. Paul makes it clear that years later, he had not changed his message one bit. He had not found anything that changed his mind about the gospel of Jesus and his resurrection. It's a life, but it is a life-changing message, isn't it, for us? If we believe it and trust in it, our life is a continuing change, is it not? Well, it is in my life, I don't know about yours. And that's a testimony of the church, not just as individuals, but here together. For 2,000 years plus, the church, the true church, has faithfully declared, has it not, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many that don't, I know, even today, even in Baptist churches sometimes, makes you shudder sometimes. You think, oh, what do they really believe, you know? But it happens, it's a fact. But we know what is true, and we have to challenge people for that. And this is the gospel, is it not, that people stake their lives on, willing to go to the cross or willing to go to the stake to die. Latimer, Ridley, they went rejoicing. You know, I don't think I could do that, but I'm sure I probably would in a way because God would give us that strength to do it. Many of the apostles lost their lives defending the truth. The early believers, and even today around the world, people are dying because of their trust in Jesus. People still continue to stake their lives on it today, on the gospel truth. We have a lot of international students. I didn't realize that I've forgotten your name again. Sorry? Oh, Dickie, of course, yeah. It's this bit here, you see. Was in the pantomime that we're at on Saturday night at the Queen's Road Church in Beeston. We take some of our international students with us, our friends international. We've got mainly Chinese, but we have one or two from, well, one from Taiwan, one from Singapore, wherever they come from. Not all Christians, but all interested. We don't push the gospel, but they're interested. So we tell them about Jesus. And we leave it at that. We don't do any more, but they're the ones that are doing the asking. And it's wonderful. Some who haven't become a Christian are actually going to church at Cornerstone or Beeston Free and the Globe Cafe and that, and want to know more. That's a wonderful thing. And so they're seeking to put their hope on eternal life because they've got no other. One of our students comes from Taiwan and she's got heart problems. She's got had some from when she was born, but these ones, couple she's got now are new, she said, and her mother's worried about her, thinking it's her fault, you know. So she's a young Christian, but she points into the Gospels and tells her, look, Jesus didn't condemn the man who is blind. He didn't say it's your fault you're blind or your parents' fault you're blind, you know. And I thought that way, isn't that wonderful? A testimony to share with our friends. And so the unchanging message of the church is the gospel. And that's what it's founded on, isn't it? It's the cornerstone of the church. Not organized around a personality, a social cause, a need. It's organized around the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we exist today, don't we, as individuals and as people, because of the gospel. Didn't have the gospel, there'd be no church, no message. Oh yes, the church has gone through battles and debates about the resurrection, but always, hopefully, returns to the truth of the gospel. The scriptures foretold it, did it not? in verses chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For what I received, I passed on to you, as if first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And he did. Go back to Genesis 3, verse 15. Already God was revealing his plan to defeat Satan and offer salvation to the world, was he not? And I bet Satan, I've said this on my Baptist college, you'll know this, must have thought when he was crucified on the cross, wow, he'd done it. Yes, I won, yeah. How wrong he was. In the Psalms and Isaiah, it foretold that Christ would die for our sins on the cross. That he'd be raised from the dead, Psalms and Isaiah again. Eyewitnesses testified to it. You cannot take away an experience that somebody's had with Jesus. Because that experience I had in Zimbabwe, I was thinking about this the other day when I found my badge, you can't take that away. Now, whether that guy had actually put his trust in Jesus or not, we don't know. But I thought, wow, there's an opportunity to try and put an article in the magazine that we used to produce every week, but it always got rejected. Every article I did got rejected. Because the other guy was obviously running it, wasn't a Christian and wasn't interested. Always an excuse. Oh, well, at least I tried. I can't do more than that. Peter and Cephas, the apostles, the 500. You cannot convince anybody that 500 people are all wrong. Some, yes, may think of that, but not 500. James, a half-brother of Jesus. Saul, now Paul, a powerful witness as a hostile fanatic against Christians. A Jesus hater, somebody said. But Jesus met him on the Damascus Road, did he not? Changed his life completely. Moses' life and I's life were changed. And the final straw, apart from watching Thief in the Night or 9 o'clock in the Morning, if you've ever seen those films, anybody? Yeah, one or two? Going back a few years, they were at. The other thing that struck me mainly was the George Mueller story. Anybody seen the film as opposed to or read the book? Little girl in there was asked by Mrs. Mueller what would she like for her birthday the next day? And she said, I would like a ball of speckled wool. Okay, she was knitting something to give to somebody else. So she went to her husband, Mrs. Mueller, and said, would you pray for Jane or whatever her name was, for a ball of speckled wool? And he wasn't very happy, I think, initially about it, because, praying for specifics for him wasn't a done thing. Anyway, he did. What happened? What came in the post the next day? A ball of speckled wool. If God loves somebody so much to provide them with a ball of speckled wool, how much more will he love you and I? Many of the Christian lives were changed by the resurrection, and countless lives throughout the centuries and up to today have been changed by the resurrection. Murderers, homosexuals, prostitutes, community leaders, politicians, arrogant athletes, etc. have all been changed, and we've all come to know Jesus through different experiences. As I said, my life, Mo's life has changed. Both come from different backgrounds. She come from Sheffield, I come from Scotland, as you probably know by now, despite my accent. But we can forgive her. She comes from Sheffield. She's South Yorkshire. But seriously, we come together and we come at the same time. And that was good. So I just want to say in conclusion then, the evidence is overwhelming for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A professor called Thomas Arnold, who was then, this has gone back a few years, this quote, then chairman of modern history at Oxford University in England, writes of the resurrection. The evidence for our Lord's life and death and resurrection may be, and often has been, shown to be satisfactory. It is good according to the common rules of distinguishing good evidence from bad. Thousands and tens of thousands of persons have gone through it piece by piece and carefully, as every judge summing up a most important case. I have myself done it many times over, not to persuade others, but to satisfy myself. I have been used for many years to study the histories of other times and to examine and weigh the evidence of those who have written about them. And I know of no one fact in the history of mankind which is proved by better and fuller evidence than the great sign which God has given us that Christ died and rose again from the dead. Amen. And another theologian says this in reference to the resurrection: it is the best authenticated event in ancient history, and is still relevant today, and will be to the Lord who come. The Lord comes back. And so, in closing, I'll just say these few words: the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel truth. Amen.